Well, open up to Acts chapter 2. What I'm interested in is what is the Lord Himself saying to the church? And specifically, what is He saying to us at this season? I'm just like Alan says, hey, any preacher here, we have canned messages. We want to hear from God, but we always have one. How did he call it? A standby? We have one in reserve. Let's talk about tongues, you know? Okay. But as I was listening and praying this afternoon, I feel like the Lord does not want to leave what was being talked about this morning. This is his mind. Because we are coming into revival. This is his mind. We're coming into revival. We do not want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And the Lord has given us specific instruction. So, a specific prophecy that came in 2010 very often. I went ahead and printed that one off. I found it and printed it off with permission, since it didn't come through me. But boy, there is some very specific instructions. Now we're in 2015 for reference. You're going to recognize, it's like the Lord read your mail 5 years earlier, gave you warning about what to be careful of, and now he is bringing it again, saying, now don't forget these instructions. So we're going to go through these, and what you'll find, because then Alan's message, because he's going through probably one of the biggest struggles of his life right now, and the courage that he has to get up there and stand there and deliver, you know, and because everybody's going through something. Some things are more visible outwardly than other things. And to have someone that's so obvious that is going through one of the struggles of his life, maybe the biggest ever so far, and to do it with love and grace and without compromising the word, that's important. That's important. So the reason I had you turn to Acts 2, see, the Holy Ghost is our friend. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our teacher. And I didn't write down all the seven attributes, you know. But he is our standby. I remember that one. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. But look at this. See, when the day, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's talk about those tongues of fire. It's just talking about flames. It's dark, you know, if you have a campfire, fireplace, it's talking about the flames that come up like tongues out of there. Because John the Baptist, when he was prophesying about the Messiah coming, he said, he's coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, fire has many aspects, but regarding this message, I particularly see two. One, fire is a good purger. Fire will burn up the chaff. Fire will purge what needs to go. Amen? How many of you have found that he's a fire when it comes to purging you? Things that, you know, hurts and wounds and things that we've had since forever. And we've put those things in closets within ourselves that even we don't go in there. We sure don't want God going in there. But the Holy Ghost, if you keep praying, he'll kick the door down and go in there and shine the light on that thing because it's hindering you, see? So there's a purging aspect when it comes to the fire of God, which each of us are dealing with. And Alan's message fell right into that. He says, let the Holy Ghost tell you what to work on. I love that. See? You know, perfect example is Nathan. God told Nathan to quit drinking coffee. And I'm going, thank God he said it to Nathan. Now, so far, as far as I know, honestly, I mean, God's dealt with me about a lot of things. I'm only allowed to watch one football game, for crying out loud, on Saturday. Just one. Poor little Gary. Poor little Gary, you know. had to give up my mega football Saturday, you know. But coffee, now we're talking, the Holy Grail. We're talking. Now, he may someday say something, but honestly, he hasn't. He has dealt with me on other things. And so that purging, don't, and I think, oh, yeah, I shouldn't look at anybody right now. I'm telling you right now, God has not called you to tell somebody else what they need to purge. These people that come and they start praying just a little bit and suddenly they got a word to straighten out everybody else. I have not found that to be the way of the Holy Ghost. Trust me, you got a bunch of stuff he's going to work on you before you've got to first get the mote out of your own eye before you're going to be able to help anybody, you know. So the first aspect of that Holy Ghost and fire, or one of the first aspects, is the purging nature. And now we've all been doing this for so long, we're very, very familiar. Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, the old man has to be burnt up, and not many can stand the burnings. They leave. Have you noticed? Hello, survivor. But now there's a different kind of fire represented here with Acts 2:4. And this is revival fire. What happened immediately after this outpouring? Thousands got saved the very same day. He preached again. 5,000, if I remember right, got saved. I mean, thousands of, and many were added daily. There's revival fires that we're right on the cusp of. I believe that with all of my heart. Part of the reason I believe it is that in the natural, the devil has done everything he possibly can to make it look like that will never, ever come to pass. See? And if you're moved by circumstances, you're probably already gone. You know? And then he used Alan. But Alan was giving. He might have been. I don't know if he was here or not. But either way, he used Alan, in my opinion, to demonstrate how you walk through some of these fires. And as some of the very warnings, when I got home and I opened up and found the prophecy, we were warned about these very things. So if he's bringing it up again, I think it would behoove us tonight to take a fresh look at this prophecy. It's from 2010. I don't know who it literally came through. Yeah, I know it did not come through me. But I believe it is the Lord speaking to us. It is the mind of Christ. So I'm going to go slowly through this. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to envision. Oh, by the way, the title of this one, it's, if you want to look it up, if you have the prayer center documents of the prophecies, this one is PT100108. It's from January 8th, 2010. And the title they put on it is Once the Flames of Revival Are Ignited. Once the Flames of Revival Are Ignited. Now, it'll probably be the title of tonight's message, just so you can easily find it, okay? All right, so he says, so let's do what he says here. He says, I want you to envision the igniting of a fire. Consider how a small spark can ignite and become a raging fire, and how it begins with such small incident. But I want to elaborate more on once the fire started. Don't forget that in its infancy stages, before the fire erupts, and it is only small embers that you are dealing with, I am the one who comes and blows on those embers until a flame ignites. I am that wind. I do what you cannot do. But now, note, listen to this. Because remember, Nathan says revival's not going to happen by accident. We have our part to play. So he says, I am that wind. I do what you cannot do. You offer yourself up to me. That is what you do. But I go beyond that. And the wind of my Holy Spirit blows on your offering. And I blow on it until it ignites. Excuse me, I got to go pray somehow. Isn't that good? Then comes this warning. I want to warn you and the church. Now, this is the mind of Christ. I mean, you read Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus is speaking to the churches, warning after warning after warning. This is not unprecedented here. I want to warn you and the church, even once the fire erupts, the most vulnerable time for any fire is in its beginning stages. That's when it is the most vulnerable to being extinguished. And that is what I want to warn you of. Even once the fire of revival is ignited here and the flames grow, be on guard, because your enemy will do everything possible. Say everything. He will do everything possible, especially at the infancy stage, to try and extinguish the revival fire. Because he knows the longer it burns, the more that it will spread, and the harder it will be to extinguish. So know this, your battle has not ended once the revival has ignited here. It has just begun. Because, see, the very fact that this is hitting us the way it's hitting us, no wonder the Lord wanted to remind us of this. We've let it slip, haven't we? We've forgotten. You know? Me too. I'm reading it going, whoa. But yet and you'll see it here even more as I continue reading, you're going to see, this was 2010, you're going to exactly see what he warned us about has already been happening for 5 years. And apparently, it ain't over. But also apparently, the flames are about to ignite. And he's letting us know, he's giving us the fresh warning, don't let your guard down then. Okay? All right. Let me read that sentence again. Your battle has not ended once the revival has ignited here. It has just begun. Because you will have to guard against all the deception. Say deception. That the enemy will throw at you in his effort to extinguish the flames. And in his effort to sidetrack, say sidetrack, the revival, and turn it in such a way that it brings a reproach, say reproach, upon my name. Or against my name, actually. The enemy knows the longer the flame burns, the larger it becomes. And the more dangerous it is for spreading. Now, before we go on with this, those three words just jumped off the page at me as I was reading this today and praying. Deception. Deception. I have never seen so many people in these last couple of years leave over deception. People that have been here sometimes for years, sometimes 5 years, sometimes 10 years, and suddenly, Dave doesn't know anything. None of the teachers here are correct. Blatantly, if they have access to the pulpit, sometimes they've done it from the pulpit. If not, they do it in the lobby. They'll do it whoever. Don't believe what's being taught here. And it's deception. And we do our best. We talk with them. We'll counsel with them. Do everything we can. And going, look, you know, it's a free country. You can go preach whatever you want to preach, but you just can't do it here. You can't stand in another man's pulpit and teach opposite to what he's teaching. Come on. You know, go get your own pulpit. You know, I mean, you know, isn't that fair? Say, you know, at least if you're, you know, or if you're going to attend here, I mean, I've got onto more than one in the very lobby out there because they were doing it publicly. Then I reprimanded them publicly. And I said, look, it's not okay for you to come out here. Nobody has authorized you to come out here and come against the doctrine of the prayer center. You're free to preach whatever you want, but, you know, we'd really appreciate it if you not do it in our lobby. You know? And I've had, you know, people just, and it's not, you, all of you have probably got certain people in mind, probably them and many more that you don't know about. And some of the squirreliest things, can I just say squirrely? You know, and I'm not, none of us are immune to deception, okay? And he's warning us. This is one of the warnings. That's why y'all don't know this. Okay, I'll just go ahead and fess up. And I have had this conversation with them more than once. I said, now look, if you hear Gary getting one degree off or 10 degrees off, if you hear me start saying anything that you know does not line up with what Dave has taught, if you're going to be my friend, you got to tell me. And I'll listen. And if I need to, I'll take a sabbatical. I'll just, you know, I'll go off until the Holy Ghost straightens me out, okay? But I'm not interested in anything except revival here. That's all I want. And I don't think Dave is wrong. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I thought over these. I thought he was wrong about Romans 8:11. I just talking about Mike with that right before the service. What he taught us on the born again trail about Romans 8:11, and I thought that's the Holy Ghost. It's the spirit that raised Christ from the dead be in you, you know. And I thought, no, Dave, you're wrong on that. I thought that was talking about the Holy Ghost, not the new nature. But he wasn't wrong. And it took forever. I don't even tell you how long it took. It wasn't more. It was more than a week. It was more than a year. More than a year. I said, well, I just love, you know, you can't resist Dave's love, right? I said, well, you know, nobody's perfect. I'll just keep coming anyway, you know. Took a long time for the Holy Ghost to show me my own ignorance. Dave was right the whole time. Now I know it. Can't get it out of me now with rifle butts. But I didn't at the time. I'm saying all that to say this. None of us are immune to deception. But you notice at the very church that has been given the message on how to be taught by the Holy Ghost, the first warning is what? Beware deception. Beware deception. So let's say, I hear you, Lord.
I will beware
deception. Hallelujah. The second one that he mentions in that paragraph is to sidetrack. Even after the revival fires break out, sidetrack. Boy, you got to see, now we're in Mark 4. Cares of this world, busyness, distractions. Now, I'll tell you another one that will come when revival breaks out more than it has now, and especially if you're one of the ones being used, which you will be, you're going to see, hear it. He has not called you to be warmed by this fire. You're going to be in this fire. And I'm telling you right now, if the fire of purging has not removed your desire to be exalted by man, and God's healing through your hands on a regular basis, it's easy to be sidetracked. And, you know, everybody will be clamoring to have you come. And I'm telling you right now, you only want to go where the Holy Ghost says go. And it doesn't matter how much money they offer. It doesn't matter how much fame they offer. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is same thing Paul asked the Lord. What would you have me do? Sidetracked. Gets easy to get sidetracked with all kinds of things. Let me read it how he said it again. The enemy, first off, he said it up here. He says the enemy is going to use everything possible. See, the enemy doesn't play fair. If he can't stop you, he'll attack your kids. Y'all ever hear of Dave Roberson? If he can't stop you, he'll attack something else. See? Attack your finances. Attack you with a lawsuit. Attack you with all. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't care what stops you. He is the ultimate terrorist. And he doesn't care what stops you as long as he stops you. But I thought it was really amazing, the Holy Spirit bringing us this warning that the first one to guard against was deception. The second one, his effort to sidetrack not just you, but the way he words it, to sidetrack the revival and turn it in such a way that it brings reproach. against my name. Sidetrack the revival. How in the world would he do that? Well, again, those two purging methods that fire has. How many, I don't want to mention names, but some of them are very relatively recent in history, used mightily of God, some with salvation, some with miracles, and then you find out they were getting drunk after the services or committing adultery, or it was strictly a gifts revival. In other words, God can use the gifts through just anybody, really, and not a maturity revival. That's the difference. He could have poured a pure gifts revival through this place 25 years ago. If that's what he wanted, to just like he's had to do in the past because there just was no other way. And we've seen those. I mean, you can't deny the miracles, you know. But then they end in a way, they turn in such a way that they wind up bringing reproach on his name. And I'll tell you, I'll just go ahead and throw this in too. It's because it's just obvious, you know. Gary, is your job to state the obvious? I guess it is tonight. the attacks that's going on here. People, until we actually step into the miraculous, like where Victoria just is healed and comes up and stands here and gives her testimony. For those of you that don't know, she was just born with a birth defect. Her brain wasn't fully formed, and there's no medical cure at all. But how many of you know there is a cure? Say, there is a cure. And we've already prayed and believed, and I believe Victoria is going to walk right up here in her right mind one of these days with a fully formed brain, and she'll just give her testimony about what great things the Lord has done, see? And, I mean, that's the heart of God. That's the revival. But if he hasn't purged us, let's say it was that particular day when they brought Victoria in. It just happened to be Mike that day. Could it be anybody, but happened to be Mike. And Zama Zama in the name, and whew, whew, whew. And suddenly Victoria just rises up and got her full mind and fully formed brain, able to talk. You think the enemy's not coming after Mike? You think he's not going to, well, did he use anybody else? No, he used you. You know you must be pretty special. Here we go, you know. Here we go, little by little. It won't be very long if you're not immune, if you haven't let the fires purge you of seeking the glory of man and that type of thing. The revival can be turned. You know, then Mike, yes, I knew it was time to start my worldwide ministry. you know? And God may call people to do that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know it's going to spread from here, but it's one thing for God to send you. It's another thing for the devil to sidetrack you. And we've got to know the difference. We've got to know the difference. At this stage right now, and this is a very infancy stage, you know, Sue and I and this has been this way for, I'm going to say 10 years. Sue and I could be gone every week of the year, being well taken care of in countries, you know, we have invitations. That's just the way it is. And the Lord's not letting us take any of them right now. He's just not letting us take any of them right now. He says, I need you here. And my job is not to figure it out. My job is to pray it out. And if the Lord says stay here, I stay here. Once in a while, he'll let me make a little short trip somewhere, you know. But for the most part, we just stay in here. Because this is where he wants us. Okay. All right. So say it with me again. Deception. Deception. Sidetracked. Sidetracked. And what? Oh, and reproach. See, reproach. We don't want to get... Even when... And remember, he's going to come the hardest right at the beginning. Because it's new to you. You haven't operated in this level before. These fires, you're not used to this. None of us are used to this. But we're going to get used to this. But he says, he's warning. See, to me, I am so encouraged about today. Why bring this up? Why bring this up again 5 years later? If we're not right on the cusp of this, he's warning us again, bringing it back to the forefront of our mind, which tells me, can you feel the flames? We must be getting close. And he keeps saying that in prophecy, that we're so close. If you look in the natural, it looks like we're, you know, getting farther away all the time. But every time God speaks, you're so close, you know. Okay. So let me read that last sentence and I'm going to go on a little bit. Is this okay? You getting it? Yeah. I'm going to have to speed it up a little. So the last sentence there was, the enemy knows that the... I'm going to read that one again. You got to... Your battle has not ended once the revival has ignited here. It has just begun. Because you will have to guard against all the deception that the enemy will throw at you in his effort to extinguish the flames. Boy, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. The enemy's not coming because of you. He's coming because of the revival that's in you. Your part in it. He's coming because of the Word. The sower sows the Word. All of that in Mark 4 was it. The enemy was not the people. The enemy was the Word. Okay. You'll have to guard against all the deception, say deception, that the enemy will throw at you in his effort to extinguish the flames and in his effort to sidetrack the revival and turn it in such a way that it brings a reproach against my name. I got to back up a little. I missed one. See, that deception thing, he says, to guard against all the deception that the enemy will throw at you. Well, why does he do that? To extinguish the flames. Now, a lot of people don't like the word doctrine. They really don't. I just want to follow Jesus. I don't care about doctrine. Well, you're not going to follow him. You'll follow something weird. You'll make a Jesus in your own image. You know, you'll follow a Jesus. You'll create a Jesus that you want to follow. That loves your flesh. I'm not getting near enough amens, but it's true anyway. False doctrine, deception? Isn't deception false doctrine? False doctrine will extinguish the revival fires. That brings in Alan's message today. Now here's obviously a man going through the fire, going through the furnace. He's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? He's going through it, and there's no escaping going through it, you know? And Jesus didn't immediately get him out of the furnace. He came and got in the furnace with him. You remember that? The guy looking in the window says, "Well, didn't you throw three guys in there?" "Yeah." "So 1, 2, 3, 4. I see a fourth man. I see a fourth man in there, and he looks like the Son of God." Well, how many believe the Son of God's with Alan going through the fire? See? But see, the enemy, when you're going through that, and I love how Alan is teaching this, the purpose is to get you to change your doctrine based on your circumstances. How many times did he say today? He says, when your life does not line up with the Word. The Word says this, but your life says this. And the big challenge right there is to go with the Word and not change it to match up with your circumstances. Now, he's going to come out just like the Hebrew children, I believe, with all my heart. I don't know how long it'll take, but he's going to come out the other end of this thing without even the smell of smoke on him. Not even he's going to run faster than he ever ran. He's going to climb better than he ever climbed. He's going to be able to do everything. Hallelujah. But when you're in the fire, be in there with that fourth man. Amen. But do not try and he's trying, the enemy is trying to extinguish Alan from the revival by getting Alan to change his doctrine, deception, because deception will extinguish the flames. That's what he says right here in this prophecy. See? Isn't that good? So no matter what you're going through, you stick with the Word of God. You say the Word of God. That doesn't mean we get crazy and you can't, you know, tell facts. But listen, truth changes facts. Alan's not done that. He's not standing up here. I didn't have a stroke. It's obvious he did have a stroke. But he's saying, it's something I'm going through, not something I'm going to stay in. Amen? All right. I really gotta go now. I gotta speed up. Next paragraph. He says, also, do not forget that you continue to need to supply fuel for any good fire to continue. There will never be a time in this revival that you can ignore your personal time with me. Did you hear that? Well, I'm too busy healing the sick, Lord. I was going to pray today. Too busy healing the sick. I was going to worship, you know. Too busy healing the sick to open up your word. No. The fuel will exhaust. Eventually the fuel will exhaust. You need to be fed. You need fuel. Keep fueling the fire. And that comes by your personal time with Him. Okay. He said that is the fastest way for your part of the revival to be over. Because when you do not spend your time with me, you are more vulnerable to being led away into traps. Say traps. Constructed by the enemy to derail you. You have to make sure you are spending your time with me to avoid these traps. I will have my revival. And I want you to be a part of it. Beware of this deception of only being warmed by the fire instead of being immersed in the flames. I did not call you here for you to be warmed by this fire. I called you here to be a part of it, to be immersed in it. Immersed in it, like you could say baptized in it. Okay. My plans for you involve transporting this revival to other locations and destinations. So there will come a time when He will say, go here, go there, do this. But we have to be sure that we're hearing Him and not being led by our own mind. Okay. My plans for you are to be that spark that I can blow to other areas where my children are so desirous for revival. When I first heard this, I'll just tell you, I remember hearing this prophecy when it came. And images, you know, we don't really think in words, we think in pictures, you know. And when I first heard it, I remembered one time when I saw a bottle rocket in a news program. I saw a bottle rocket land on somebody's house, and they were showing how that little bottle rocket that you buy for a dime burned down a $200,000 house, you know. Okay? But then I was watching the news another time, and the Lord reminded me of this, and what they were showing then was one of those wildfires in California when the Santa Ana winds are blowing at 40, 50 miles an hour. And I mean, the embers were spreading. The embers were spreading like crazy. There was no stopping it. They would cut a place, remove all the vegetation, a fire break, or whatever they call it. And there wasn't no stopping that thing. Those embers were blowing horizontal. I mean, you know, a 50 mile an hour wind. They were just horizontal going. And there was no stopping it. And I heard the Lord say, that's what I meant. I'm with this revival when it starts. I'm not going to be bottle rockets. It's going to rage. And there's no stopping it. And religion's going to make fire breaks trying to stop it. But there isn't going to be no stopping it. Because you think a 50 mile an hour wind is something, you wait till you get the wind of the Holy Ghost blowing these embers. And that's the image that He's putting out here, see. So my plans are for you to be that spark. You're one of those embers. You're one of those little coals that I can blow to other areas where my children are so desirous for revival. I want to use you to carry this flame when it is ignited to ignite others. And this goes for many who are part of this body. Now this is 10 years ago. So if this was the case 10 years ago, I think it's even more so now. There are red hot embers here now. If you want to know where this body is in relation to revival, envision a bed of red hot embers. This is how the Lord sees it. Gradually, I am blowing on those embers, knowing that soon flames will ignite. How close is this? And he says it is very close. Now, you got to remember, when a being who lives outside of time says something is close, we're not sure what that means. He gave Joseph that vision of the stars and the moon bowing down, or the sun and the moon bowing down to him. And it was a true vision of God, but it didn't happen until 22 years later. But anyway, so it is time now to prepare for when the flames ignite. Brace yourself for the onslaught that is to follow. Has anyone been through any onslaughts in these last 5 years? Look around. Let's see. We used to have about 70 come to Calling In the Lost. You know, 70, 75, you know. So he says, brace yourself for the onslaught that is to follow. For many, it will truly be a fight for survival. And I have to think of Alan there. I have to think of others in this very room. It's a fight for survival. The enemy does not play fair. Okay. But as long as you are prepared for it in advance, you will be fine. Say, I will be fine. Do not wait until the fire erupts, because then it will be too late and you will be fodder for the enemy. Now see, the thing of it is, you're still here 5 years later. You're still here 5 years later. So many of them, they're gone. And we have prophecy saying when the revival breaks out, they'll be back. And we're going to receive them back with open arms. As long as they're not trying to glory hog things that don't belong to them. You don't pay the price, you know. And I didn't say that. People are going to read that wrong. They're going to come and try and take advantage of the Dave Roberson name to bring glory to themselves. That's not going to work. When they do that, though, they're anyway. Those are not the ones that the enemy goes after. The enemy goes after you. Okay, have you found that out? So do not wait until the fire erupts, because then it will be too late, and you will be fodder for the enemy. But see, you guys aren't like that. You're still here, 5 years later. You're still praying, you're still fasting, you're still in the Word, you're still doing what needs to be done. See? He will do everything to try and turn you out of the way and bring a reproach against my name. You just wouldn't believe what some people are saying that have left this church. You just wouldn't believe it. And we don't say it, we don't do anything about it. We love them, we don't, you know, they can do whatever they want, say whatever they want. But the enemy has done everything he can. Slopety floored building, same carpet for 20 some odd years. Dave's not teaching right now. Gary's put on weight again. Just name it, whatever it is, you know. Yeah, see, there's nothing to it. No. But the enemy's trying everything he can to bring a reproach, and that will only increase when the flames really break forth. He'll try and extinguish it quickly. So he says again, is it close? Yes, it is close. And even now the wind is blowing. Even now the smoke is rising. Even now the embers are glowing red hot. Hello, embers. And in a moment, boy, I've built a lot of fires in my almost 70 years. And sometimes you got to do it the old-fashioned way, you know, out in the woods or whatever. And you're trying and doing whatever, you know. And come on. And it's amazing. Suddenly that flame starts. And that's the image that he's drawing here. See, suddenly that flame is going to start. Man. Suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, flames will begin to dance on the coals. He baptized them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There were tongues of fire, flames of fire in that room. And there's going to be flames of fire in each of our rooms. Hallelujah. Flames will begin to dance on the coals, and that is how close you are. So do not lose sight of the objective. Do not lose sight. Y'all ever hear anything about something called laser focused? Do not lose sight of the objective. Press in now harder than you ever have. Because what you have hungered for, what you have desired for all of these years, I have desired for so much longer than you. I have waited for someone with whom I could pour myself out upon, and it would not destroy him. Do y'all remember one of the pivotal points in Dave's ministry was that time he prayed for the baby that had the waterhead baby. You remember the waterhead baby? And Dave talked, and he had just, if I remember right, he had been having miracles. It was, you know, the meetings had been powerful. He'd seen cripples walk and things like that. And he's thinking, okay, we'll pray for this waterhead baby. Baby all swole up, you know, something wrong with its head. Dave says, I know. I milked every cell for faith. I prayed as hard as I could pray. I did everything I knew to do. I was using all the faith I had, but no matter what I did, that baby was not healed. And then later, not that same day, but later, God says, well, which is it, boy? Which is it? What do you think? Was it the fact that I could heal that baby? And I just chose not to do it? Or do you think I would do it if I could find enough in you to do it with? Dave says it has to be the latter. God's not capricious. He's no respecter of persons. Again, if we look at Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No, not one person came to Jesus in the Gospels for healing that they did not get it. 100%. What's he trying to tell us? God's will. 100%. So Dave, God settled, that settled the issue for him. All right, it's not you, God. I'm not going to ever accuse you. Alan, you know, he could, if he was not careful in the fire that he's going through, well, why me, God? You know, I mean, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've given my whole life to you. You could start accusing God, see. But which is it? No. So Dave got it right. I don't want to go too fast now. Now, it was either that incident or another similar. And the spirit of this is correct, but it was either that incident or another incident where Dave was really pressing in to see a child healed. That's all I remember. But I do remember the Lord says, if you keep pressing in to me, the spirit of this is correct. You will get what you're after. You will get what you're after. But because of the strongholds in you, it will set you back. I forget now, was it 4 years, 5 years? It will set you back 4 to 5 years in your walk with me. Now, Dave taught on that later. And what he was saying is, yeah, God would do it if I stayed after him. He would do it. But God was looking at me. Because just like he says here, God says, I want to pour myself out upon you and it not destroy you. See, because the enemy is going to come with a vengeance. And if we've not been purged, if we not allow the Holy Spirit to purge us with that purging fire, then the enemy, Jesus said right before the cross, Satan cometh. How did he say it? But Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. Boy, he was looking. Looking for handles, right? Yeah. Looking for handles to see if he could destroy Jesus. Okay? So let me read it again. All of that, I'm just remembering all of those things, you know. I have waited for someone with whom I could pour myself out upon. and it would not destroy him. Finally, we are this close. Press in. Do not hold back. Give me everything that I need to bring this to pass. Is that awesome or what? Sounds like he's calling us. At one point in there, he said, press in harder than you ever have. Now, if I'm going to take that seriously, that is a lot of pressing. If I'm going to take that seriously, because in the early days when I left the trucks, I don't want to reteach all of that, but he says, if you're not going to continue praying at least the same amount that you are in the trucks, then I'm better off to leave you in the trucks. And he had me make a prayer plan before he ever let me leave, where I could show him that I was going to pray the same number of hours when I left that job as I was in that job. Well, that's a lot of pressing. So, I don't know, you could probably give testimony too about maybe your early days compared with, how did Nathan say that, 15 minutes of tongues on the way to work in the car. Do you see how this is all the same mind today? And I knew the Lord was wanting to continue with this. So he's serious. Let me read that again. He says, press in. Do not hold back. Give me everything that I need to bring this to pass. I think he's wanting to have some more fire inside so we can manifest more fire outside. Amen? All right. I think I obeyed him. I'm pretty sure that there won't be a problem. We'll have this along with the teaching at the website, and you should be able to print out one. Now, where I grew up, they eventually changed the doctrine, changed what's in the Bible. When I say where I grew up, the denomination I grew up in. So now they have things like, well, if we prayed and they did not get healed, then obviously it was not God's will to heal. That is still, in America today, the very most predominant doctrine. But when Jesus came and he cast that devil out of that epileptic boy and he got healed, they asked the same question, because they had been called, they had been commissioned, they had been anointed, and they had experience casting out devils and healing the sick. But this one, when they prayed, it didn't happen. And they asked the Lord. And wouldn't it have been something if he'd have said, well, it's just not always God's will to heal every time, you know. Or, no, this is Tuesday, bring him back Thursday. It's the Lord's will to heal, but not today. Or some flaky, man-made, humanistic junk. Boy, thank you, Lord. Junk. Good. Thank you, Lord, save me. What did Jesus say? This kind of unbelief, there's only one reason. See, there's no point accusing God. No point blaming him. No. This kind cometh not out. This kind of what, devil? Did he say it's a big bad devil? This kind of unbelief. And I'll tell you what kind it was. The kind that's moved by what you see. See, that one, that devil threw that boy in the fire, threw him in the water, foaming at the mouth, gnashing at his teeth. They were moved by what they saw. And it created unbelief. He said, this kind, where you're not moved by that at all. I like what Alan said. Where was Jesus? The boat's about to sink. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus is asleep on the pillow. Because his peace is, I don't care what that storm says, we're going to wind up on the other side. He just stopped the storm for them so they'd have some peace. Do I fully understand that? No, I don't. But I can tell the difference between his peace and theirs. No, we're going to have to go into more prayer. We've got to go into more fasting. We're coming into January this season. See, he'd said it exactly right. Stay with the doctrine. There's only one head of the church. And if he says this kind of unbelief comes out with prayer and fasting, then bless God, it comes out through prayer and fasting. Hallelujah.